Welcome to a new episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. Merry Christmas to all that are listening and happy holidays as the Knicks face the 76ers on Christmas Day, their noon matchup against the team. And, I hope you're having a very good Christmas if you celebrate, or you're just having a good Sunday in general. But I'll tell you right now, as a Knicks fan, our team, did not make it feel like a good Christmas. If anything, they did not make me feel happy. They made me feel worse on this Sunday, December 25th, because, well, you could see after the first quarter, the Knicks with a 37-point first quarter led against 76ers by 12. But as the game moved on ever so slightly, you saw the comeback kind of mounting up throughout the game into the second half, into the fourth quarter, especially for the 76ers to eventually take the lead and keep that lead throughout the rest of the game. As the Knicks were extremely cold in that fourth quarter, at one point were, I believe, 3-for-18 from the field. They get outscored in the fourth quarter by 24-16, and are now, what's their record at home? 8. They're now 8-10 at home, 18-16 on the season. I think that keeps them in, let me check, it keeps them, so this is the non-updated standings, but they were in sixth place in, you know, going into this game, with the 76ers coming into this game in fifth place. We'll see where the Knicks go now after this matchup. They're going to be playing Luka Doncic, who's actually, I believe, playing right now in the second game of the Christmas schedule of NBA games against LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. But the Knicks are going to be playing another primetime matchup on Tuesday night at 8:30 against the Dallas Mavericks. I want to say it's on NBA TV, so we're going to have to look forward to that one next. But I think the Knicks should stay in sixth place after this one. We'll have to wait and see. It just sucks, though, because they had control of this game, and Julius Randle had a very, very good first half. I want to say he had over 25 points in that first half. He was shooting well. He was driving into the paint well. He was making his free throws, because as we know, the Knicks lost that game against the Bulls, where RJ Barrett dropped, I want to say it was 44 points against the Chicago Bulls. But because the Knicks can't make their free throws, even though they're NBA players, you know, they're professional players, they get paid to play basketball, they were not able to make their free throws, one of those guys being Randle, and because of that, it led to the Knicks losing. And we know that DeMar DeRozan has that clutch gene in him. He's one of the best players in the NBA still to this day. He's getting a little up there in age, but he still can do his thing. And obviously we knew that he had that in him to make that shot and win the game for the Bulls. But on the other side of things, the New York Knicks could have closed that game, and they did not, and that is the problem. Luckily, though, back to my point, Julius Randle did make his free throws today. Another thing that makes me upset is the news with Jalen Brunson. I don't have an update. I'm literally recording right after the game ended, but Jalen Brunson was a little bit shaken up late in the fourth quarter, went to the locker room, I guess, to get checked out, then went back and sat on the bench for the end. We know Brunson's kind of been shaken up the past few weeks, if not the past month. Had an injury, what was it, like an ankle maybe injury or a lower body injury, and we didn't know how much time he was going to miss. Tom Thibodeau said it was a better case than, you know, what it could have been. So we were, as Knicks fans, or at least myself, thinking about it, was like, okay, so, you know, he might miss a couple of weeks, but we should be fine, as he does lead this Knicks team. As we know, he does have that, you know, sort of clutch gene in him. But with Jalen Brunson going out now, hopefully he's okay. He only missed one game, I want to say, with that injury to the lower body earlier a few weeks ago. So we'll have to see how long this one keeps him out. Looking at his stats on the day, Jalen Brunson played 35 minutes, 10-for-19 from the field. He shot 1-for-2 from the free throw line and had a total of 23 points. Randle finished the game with 35 in 40 minutes. And Randle also had 8 rebounds and 4 assists. Brunson going crazy in the assists total again with 11 assists, a double-double for Jalen Brunson, able to spread the ball around and really help out this Knicks offense. Julius Randle, too, he played pretty well. It was just the second half, he was kind of dismal. And again, the fourth quarter for this Knicks team shooting, the ball was absolutely terrible. There was one drive I remember, I'm sure, you know, if you watch a game, you'll know what I'm talking about. Mitchell Robinson got either two or three offensive rebounds on the same possession and just kept passing it out, and the Knicks just could not do anything. And I think it ended up being a Quentin Grimes with the shot clock right about at zero with a shot up. There was a whistle blown. Ryan Rucco, the broadcaster of this game, along with it was J.J. Redick and I think a few other people. Ryan Rucco's like, okay, there's a foul call. Let's see what's on. And then he goes, nope, it's actually a travel on Quentin Grimes, and that's a turnover. So after the Knicks had the ball for probably about 30 seconds or more because the shot clock kept resetting because Mitchell Robinson had at least two or three offensive rebounds, the Knicks still could not capitalize. And ugh, it sucks to lose to the 76ers because it's not the Hawks for me. Like, the Atlanta Hawks are my, like I've said when we played them and I recorded episodes this season about them and how they're, you know, they're my version maybe of like the Chicago Bulls and the Knicks played them in the playoffs in the late 90s. They are my, that, my rivals in my lifetime as a 17-year-old. But the 76ers, obviously, in general, are just one of the Knicks' historic rivals. They're in the Eastern Conference. And when the 76ers are really good, You want to beat them. You want to play better than them. And the Knicks just were not able to do that. They did shoot almost 48% from the field, almost 38% from the three-point line, 82% from the free throw line. But one guy particularly that was at the free throw line a lot was Joel Embiid, who went 10 for 15 from the line. Overall, the 76ers had 29 free throws. The New York, okay, so overall, sorry, let me look at this. Overall, Joel Embiid had 15 free throw attempts. He only made 10 of them. The Knicks overall made 14 free throws. So Joel Embiid had more attempts from the free throw line than the Knicks had made free throw attempts, if that makes any sense. Overall, the Knicks had 17 free throw attempts, 14 made. So they went 14 for 17 from the line. Joel Embiid was 10 for 15. That is just insane. What I'm trying to say is the amount of times that Joel Embiid got to the free throw line in this game. And the Knicks had an interesting way of playing defense. I don't know if this was Tom Thibodeau on purpose not double-teaming Embiid, but the Knicks did not really double-team Embiid. I don't know if that was because they knew that he's also, you know, he looks around the court, and I'm sure he can make a good pass to an open guy cross-court, and maybe they get a corner three to take the lead, or not take the lead, but just get a corner three and put 3 points on the board for the 76ers. So maybe that's why I didn't double-team him, but instead, Tom Thibodeau decided it would be a good idea to just do the one-on-one center matchups with Mitchell Robinson. When Mitchell Robinson had a lot of fouls, go to Jericho Sims. When Jericho Sims' foul count went up, go to Isaiah Hartenstein. And I guess it's just kind of like the point of there's nothing you can do. This guy's just one of the best players, if not the best player in the NBA. You know, MVP. We just have to take the pounding and kind of go with it, and hopefully they make a stop from time to time. But Embiid was really making an impact. He was getting getting fouled. He was going to the free throw line. He was making those mid-range jumpers with the left hand that J.J. Redick was talking about on the broadcast. And most importantly, he was sending Knicks centers to the bench to get the backups in and then taking advantage when they were the starter. Mitchell Robinson was not in. So you would have Mitchell Robinson in. He would get the foul count up, 2 to 3 fouls, take Robinson, put him on the bench, get Sims in. Sims gets, you know, fouls a couple times, Embiid goes to the bench, Isaiah Hartenstein comes in, and then it was kind of a domino effect and a repetition throughout the game, which every time Mitchell Robinson was out on the floor because of foul troubles and they had a, you know, the Knicks had a bench him, Thibodeau didn't want him to get fouled out. The 76ers, and especially Joel Embiid, they knew that. That was their game plan. They took advantage of that, and he just kept on scoring. I want to say there was at least like a time in the game, I don't know if it was the first or second half, this might have been even multiple times in the game, where I just remember Embiid literally going to the line on a 76ers possession, like maybe 3 or 4 76ers possessions in a row. Their whole game plan revolves around Joel Embiid. So I don't know if Tom Thibodeau went into this game just like, okay, we're going to just kind of go out and see what happens. He's a really good player. There's not really much we could do to stop him. We're just going to do one-on-one with our centers. But I just feel like there was no effort to double team or to try and reduce the impact that Embiid had on this game, which ended up with him having 35 points in 34 minutes, 12 for 22 from the field, 10 for 15 from the free throw line. And he was loving it at the Garden. At the end of the game, when he had a tip in, he was hyping the crowd up. He was going crazy. He was loving it. And as a basketball fan, obviously you can see that the offense surrounds Joel Embiid, but I'm not saying he's like the only good player on the 76ers. Obviously they have James Harden, we know that. I mean, I could look at his stat line and say, yeah, James Harden, another top scorer in this game, played 43 minutes. He went 7 of 16 from the field. He had 29 points. I mean, the 76ers just have those guys. Julius Randle played really well today. Again, 35 points, but it was the first half that he played really well. And then in the second half, he kind of slowed down. And when he slows down and Jalen Brunson gets hurt, then you look to our third guy, which was RJ Barrett, who had 17, dropped 44 in Chicago in the game against the Chicago Bulls, the last game with the New York Knicks played earlier in the week. And you can't rely on RJ Barrett to be your top scorer to lead you to a victory against the 76ers, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Because on the other side, when you're facing a team that has Joel Embiid and James Harden and company, it's just the win's not going to come. And that's why I think it wasn't just the shooting, but it was just the overall effort. Maybe it was the overall intensity of the 76ers increased in that second half. And I guess it decreased for the Knicks, because you could see the first quarter the Knicks took control. They outscored the 76ers 37-25. And just after that point, going into halftime, third quarter, fourth quarter, 76ers outscored the Knicks 24-16. And you could just see as the game progressed, the Knicks, I guess, slowing down, but especially you saw the 76ers ramping up. And then it was at an all-time high when in the second half, after Julius Randle had a 20-plus point first half, he barely scored. His shots were not going in. His drives were not working. His game plan was not there. And then the fourth quarter, you have Jalen Brunson getting injured, going to the bench, Emmanuel Quickley subbing in. And that's nothing against Emmanuel Quickley. He did have 11 points off the bench today. He shot 4-for-7 from the field. But just at that point, when you don't have Randle making shots and you don't have Brunson in because he's injured, the Knicks are going to lose this game. And that's just how it went today. But even though RJ Barrett got 17 points, I'm looking at this field, his play from the field. In 43 minutes, RJ Barrett was 6 of 21. 6 of 21. Not much was going down for this guy. Again, he just had probably the best game of his career against the Chicago Bulls. 44 points in 39 minutes. His best game of his career. We cannot rely on RJ Barrett. He is not consistent. And this is the number one example of that. RJ Barrett, 44 points on what day of the week was it? Friday. 2 days later, comes into the game against the 76ers, shoots 6 for 21 from the field. 6 of 21. And good for Barrett. He had 10 rebounds, all of them coming on defense. So he did, in fact, have a double-double. But 6 for 21 from the field is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it as your second best, or your third best, or your fourth best, or even any starter on a team. That's one of the reasons why the Knicks lost today. One of a few reasons, but that's one of the main reasons why the Knicks lost today. So again, a worse, really bad shooting performance in the third and fourth quarter, especially the beginning of the fourth quarter, with the Knicks like missing most of their shots. Julius Randle having it all working out for him in the first half, shies off the second half. Jalen Brunson gets injured. Hopefully he's, you know, getting better. Obviously, again, I'm recording right after the game, so Tom Thibodeau, the Knicks head coach, might say something in the press conference. I won't know about it by the time I post this. I'll know about it by the time I post this, but not when I'm recording right now. And the last thing is RJ Barrett. He's just not consistent. And we need consistency if this team wants to win. And I'm not saying, like, you know, what we were saying at the beginning of the season, blow it all up. We're not there. The Knicks definitely have a chance to make the play-in games, make the playoffs. They just got to keep their heads held high. This is now three losses in a row. the Raptors, which, again, I still don't know how they lost that game. It was just, ugh. The Bulls, Knicks couldn't make their free throws, and now the 76ers. The Knicks, again, play Tuesday night, primetime, NBA TV, 8:30 start against Luka Doncic and the Mavericks, which, honestly, are just as good, you can say, as the Knicks. They are the eighth seed right now in the Western Conference. The Knicks can beat this team. Will they beat this team after a three-game losing streak? We'll have to wait and see till Tuesday. What am I at right now? I'm at 15 minutes. I'm over 15 minutes, and I'm recapping one game. I think we're okay. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those other platforms. To find most of the places to listen, go to shipitstudios.com/the-city-that-never-sleeps, or I think it's just City That Never Sleeps. I'm on Twitter at JoshSolo29. Follow the podcast on Twitter at TCTNSOfficial. Merry Christmas to all on this Christmas Day. If you're listening to this episode on Christmas Day, Wow. I really appreciate your support. Even if you're not, and it's after Christmas, which is probably the better option to do because you don't want to ruin your Christmas and make you feel sad on Christmas, make you feel upset on Christmas. But I still do appreciate you for listening regardless. Okay, again, the Knicks face the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday this week. We'll see when I have the next episode. But again, Merry Christmas to all. Happy holidays. Go New York, go New York, go. Let's hope they snap out of this three-game losing streak, and I'll see you next time for another episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. Peace. We are the New York Knicks. 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 Say go New York, go New York, go. On the floor, scoring more, it's 94, and the Knicks are hardcore, and I'll tell you like this, we ain't never looked sharper, with Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper, it's the Knicks, and we're back on pace, everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason, cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season, you better believe the Knicks got all that takes, we're shooting three-pointers, and we're running fast breaks, and if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face, this is a team you don't wanna miss, we are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. Yo, busted, all you hear is a swish. Threes by Starks and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley a mace in your face. We draw charges and we set picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.